You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber-supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net, keep the site and all of our great shows going, and get some terrific bonus content as well. When I saw this movie was coming out, I fell down this huge wiki hole of reading about Harriet Tubman. I was like, oh my God, I knew she was like a badass.
She's a fucking badass.
Who knew how badass she was?
Motherfucker.
Just Holy incredible. Crap. It's too bad this is the movie they made about
her. I know.
I think I would rather sit here for 2 hours and listen to Chris tell us all he's learned. Yeah, this movie.
Well, for this one, we're going to have to go all the way back to the Civil War.
Before the Civil War.
Let's get back to the international slave trade.
I thought you were going to say pancakes. I was so
That would have been a lot better.
let's do one of those wavy screen dissolves.
So she was in the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, as everyone knows. Or she should have been, damn it. When you learn about her, you're like, wait a minute, why was some of these white dudes in there and she wasn't?
Right?
Seems like she was a little more badass than some of them.
Just a wee bit. Admittedly,
they were largely fictional characters, but still.
But still.
Anyway, we're here to review the new movie, Harriet, about the aforementioned Harriet Tubman. I'm Chris.
I'm Kim.
Mindy.
Michael.
Harmony.
Frank.
Let's all welcome Michael, who is new to the higher
Hello!
Assessment.
Hello! Welcome!
Eat some cookies.
Oh, I intend to.
That's our code talk for don't fuck it up, Michael.
Right?
The whole internet is listening, Michael.
Michael is Harmony's husband, and I've known the two of you for a long time, but just recently kind of reunited, so it's nice to have both of you all in the same place again.
This is going to be fun.
I'm sorry that this was your first movie.
You know what? It gives me a lot to talk about.
It could have been much worse.
You could have
been
a Leveson with us.
I invited him.
You know, I feel like I should have.
Well, let's talk about that. Me and Frank are just going to talk about Maleficent.
We're going to talk about Maleficent. You got to talk about Harriet Tubman.
No, we're not going to do that for sure. So this is directed by Casey Lemons, who at one point was described by film scholar Wheeler Winston Dixon as an ongoing testament to the creative possibilities
this
of film.
Was directed by Casey Lemons?
Uh-huh.
Did you see the script?
Well, what else has she done?
The Caveman's Valentine, which I really like. And Yves Bayou.
Yeah, Yves Bayou is fantastic. So good, but that something has clearly gone wrong. And it may just be, maybe it was the script by Gregory Allen Howard, who is really only known for Remember the Titans.
Which is
fun, but cornball.
I should have known that she directed. Her husband plays the preacher, the minister.
Right.
He's in all her movies. And I just,
Well, like, he was delightful.
He was good, wasn't he? Yeah.
But, you know, there's a decent cast working in amongst this
very rough, disappointing
script. With Cynthia Erivo playing Harriet Tubman, who is more of a theatrical actress. I guess she's best known for her performance as Celie in The Color Purple on stage.
You mentioned that? God. Yeah, that's what she's known for before.
I know her from Widows.
She was great in Widows.
Yeah, no.
You mentioned that Leslie Odom Jr. originated the role of Aaron Burr in Hamilton on Broadway.
Right.
Stop stealing Chris's thunder.
Who plays, No, she can take my thunder.
Hamilton is the best play I've ever seen in my life. You shut up.
I thought it was Man of La Mancha, but whatever. Okay. But yes, Leslie Odom Jr. is incredible, plays William Still, who was a writer and a very well-known abolitionist, who is one of the people who was kind of a linchpin of the Underground Railroad. It doesn't even come in the movie till like the halfway point here. Janelle Monáe has a small but memorable role in Philadelphia,
she is
a free one.
We can always watch her in anything.
And there's a lot of people who you're like, I know who that is. Damn it, what's their name?
Right.
Yeah. Throughout this movie. But so when it starts out, Harriet is a slave living in Maryland with some white owners who have decided that despite the legally speaking, they're supposed to, her and her whole family are supposed to be free now. They're like, well, fuck that. We can't afford it.
We don't want
it. That happened often.
Yeah. And so she's like, well, I'm out of here. Basically, she realizes that they're going to probably sell her and separate her from her her husband, who is a free man but lives nearby working for a local landowner. And she's like, I'm getting out of here. And they're like, you're crazy. You can't do this by yourself. And she's like, God's on my side. And oh, yeah, she has psychic powers. Oh,
this is actually an X-Men movie. It was awesome.
Oh, man, there's a point where everything got really dark. I thought she was going to like be imbued with the power of Phoenix and start shooting fireballs
at people. Because in her... Harriet Tubman did say, God told me to go north, but you weren't supposed to take that literally, filmmakers.
I mean, I've not read a whole book on her, which now I really do want to. But, so like, amazing. I mean, even if she was that much more, like, that big a part of her life, the movie overuses it as a crutch.
God is giving her directions. God is your blinker.
Yeah, that it becomes just a literally a silly writing crutch.
Like, great moments sometimes. So like, oh,
and it weakens her. Because, as we have said, Harriet Tubman was a fucking badass. Mm-hmm. She was mind-blowingly amazing, and a good resource for an easy way of learning a lot of this stuff you missed in a history class, I think, has a two-parter on her.
Yeah, I was going to say there's got to be a bunch of great
podcasts about
her.
That's an easy way of just learning the bases. And it's like, she didn't escape because she was capable and clever and smart and resilient. No, it's because God gave her literal directions.
God is my GPS.
It weakened her. And it's just like, no.
I believe the term you're all dancing around is magical Negro.
Yes.
Well, I wasn't.
Come on. When she was by that river, and it's like, which way do we go?
Well, like, usually, oh, Jesus. Usually the magical Negro in a film is the black person, usually Morgan Freeman,
who helps
out a white guy by going like, I'm going to give you some advice that's going to be really powerful.
I know what you really need to know.
Exactly. Yeah.
The fact that Morgan Freeman wasn't in this movie should have told us something.
Exactly.
Right? There you go.
But now the main character is that, and it's a little distracting. God is the constant Deus Ex Machina working throughout the film. It's a shame knowing that, like, the bulk of this, although there's a lot of dramatization going on here and added stuff, but the bulk of it, the basic notes are accurate. She escaped. She made it to Philadelphia. She was only there for a year before she was like, I think I'm going to go back and free some more slaves. And they're all like, you've lost your goddamn mind. And she's like, no, I got this. And she did. And then did it again. And then did it again.
I believe she did it 17 times.
Yeah.
In total.
Literally.
But the thing is, that pissed me off was the fact that she did this 17 times. This journey was so incredibly dangerous. And she was this, you know, very tiny black woman, that was a fugitive slave, informally educated, and yet, despite that and the world that she lived in, was able to do this insanely dangerous journey 17 damn times. Mm-hmm. And they didn't focus on that.
They focused on her family.
Yeah, they focused on her family, and they focused on the white dude. That's another thing that made her weak, because it's like, you don't need a villain. The villain is America during slavery. Exactly. That is your villain. Yeah. And the fact that they focused on this one dude and this one family being the primary person against her, it weakened the danger. It's like, no, it's not the world trying to get her. It's this one dude.
It's this bad family.
Yeah, it's this bad family. And they're crazy, it's just like, oh, no. And that weakens what she accomplished.
This one dude happens to look like my cousin, which is a little weird. He's also like almost like a cartoonish character,
really,
a la, like, you know, Spike Lee, kind of like when sometimes they put the white guy characters in there as the foil, and it's just like a little kind of almost, it's like almost too much in it. And
I'm going to disagree with this because I think calling him cartoonish is giving him too much credit. He was basically a block of wood with a southern accent.
No expression never changed.
Well, when the movie opened, I wasn't sure what his character arc was going to be, because when he was looking at Harriet in the beginning of the film, I thought maybe he cared for her. This is how much his emotions did not read on his face. I had to guess what he felt towards this character until we actually started saying, like dry ass dialogue.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I guess he hates her. Well, and
every time, like, every time and his mother on screen, too. I kept on thinking, like, okay, this is the last time I'm going to see you. This is the last time I'm going to see you.
Yeah. Yo, no, wait, why, shouldn't you be irrelevant
there you
now?
Are again.
But yeah, because the movie was written on the scriptwriter 101 level of like I said, it feels like television miniseries from the 70s or 80s, where it's like, well, no, people don't want to hear a story this way. They want to hear it where there's heroes and villains and all these notable touchstones that was like. But they do it in the most.
It's not something you can touch. They're not something you can. It's not like the villain is America.
It's a movie
that's really.
It's a movie that doesn't trust its audience at
bingo,
all.
No. Bingo. Uh-huh. And one of the and as it was, I was driving over here, it occurred to me because I was thinking about that scene where his equally cartoonish mother is like, you know, we'll lure her into a trap and then we'll burn her at the stake like Joan of Arc.
Oh my God.
You know, and I'm like,
I wanted someone to raise their hand in the group and go. I don't think you mean Joan of Arc.
I know, yeah.
That's she was like
she was a saint
and chosen by God. I think that was it. The voices from God and the mm-hmm. We're gonna burn her at the stake like Joan of Arc.
Oh yeah, no, that was exactly
it's like,
why they did it.
Do you not trust your white they audience don't. To make connection with a black hero unless she is mapped onto an historical white hero?
Good point.
Give the audience
credit. Hadn't thought about that.
Yeah.
But the movie
is not the black Joan of Arc.
But that was kind of a desperate like move on their part.
The movie repeatedly doesn't trust its audience from the score, which is just
so
terrible. Just terrible.
I have not heard a score this best as Jackie, to be honest with you.
I don't remember what the score was.
I do appreciate
Jackie,
the fact that since she was in Color Purple, she did do, you know, singing. Gospel singing, and she's good at it, so.
Oh, no, when she gets to sing.
Yeah, when she gets to sing, that's good.
But I just mean the score, not the times where she's singing. I mean, like, the background music, which is so, which does not trust its audience because they're like, here's what you're supposed to feel here. Here's what you're supposed to feel here. Here's what you're supposed to feel here. And it reuses the same bits.
Yeah.
So what do you think?
So I always enjoy spirituals. I'm like, oh, I know this one. Don't sing along, Harmony. That's super weird. and so it was kind of cool to hear that. But like just listening to when we did the kind of the modern take on the spiritual when we're showing another montage of people running.
When they go to the montage of her helping lots of people escape, I was like, is this Moby? You know what I mean? It sounded like Moby's spiritualist period.
Right?
I was like,
it was a little too.
Yeah, a little too. It was a little too much.
I don't know. Even the violence wasn't that really. I don't know. I'm just thinking about your miniseries comment because this is very sort of like bland and blah, and just sort of like this is like a Wikipedia article
except it wasn't because
it was like selected like
no. But the thing is, the Wikipedia article would say this is what she did and this is what she did, and it felt like the movie was like, yeah, this is what she did, but we're going to skim that over as fast as possible while we do a montage of people running.
Right.
Yeah. It's like,
again
it's
running into a door.
Running into a door. Running with a bluish lighting. And it was just like, if you focused on what she actually did, that's your story. The montage of her becoming Moses, that should have been the story, not her, the stupid thing with the white dude, not the montages of people running.
The argument that most viewers make is like, we want to show what's cinematic, you know, more than what's actually, you know, accurate.
This is,
but it's like they could have done that by honoring her more.
Everything about this movie on paper should work.
It should be this movie that we are saying this should be, but why isn't it? Focus on that, and then at the end just made me want to punch somebody because for those that know, like, she's known for the Underground Railroad, and she's also led this raid. First of all, she was a spy. She gathered intel for the Union Army about bombs on the Chesapeake River, is that right? And she liberated, like, I think 3-4 plantations. She was the head of this army. And she did that all by herself. And Drunk History did it better.
Yeah. That's an amazing episode.
It was a great, it's the best episode. And it's like, they did it in a subtitle on this one. And it's like, this is one of her biggest things she did, and they told it in a...
Like a little footnote.
Yeah. And it's like, are you kidding me? Oh, by the way, she led this army and liberated so many people and is one of the only women to lead an army and gathered intel.
But this is the movie we chose to tell.
But let's focus on the white dude.
Well, it's just
the white dude and the family.
It is so jagged.
Of the child.
And the first half of this movie is just like a Hallmark film, kind of.
Right?
It's just like it's overwrought. It's super slow. Yeah. It doesn't do anything you haven't seen 100 times before and done better by most of them. And I'm just like, oh, for fuck's sakes. And then it goes, oh, we're going to be funny now for a bit and be like, oh, wow, she's this badass. Well, like the whole thing with her bringing Slaves back and Leslie Odom Jr. falling out of his chair. I was waiting for her to gather around her a group of super badass, like other ex-slaves. Come to me, my tub men. You know? I was like, this is getting insanely, bizarrely, a totally different movie now. Yeah. And then the last third is just kind of like, oh, now it's a revenge story.
More like the last 5 minutes. Because she wasn't even really thinking about him. The whole movie is just her going back and back to get more and more of her family.
Yeah.
It's like, we could not have condensed this into one family trip.
Yeah, true. It was her family. It was just people. Because that was one thing she said. I mean, and they kind of did this in her speech, but one of the big things, the reason she did it 17 times was like, I will not rest until everybody's free. That was her mantra.
Yeah.
And they focused on her going back because she wanted her sisters and her brothers. It's like, no, she wanted everybody. That was the point. It keeps weakening her.
That's what she was known for. That's what stood out for me is her selflessness. I mean, it was like anyone she could bring over.
Well, let's go to final thoughts, Mindy.
Oh, can I do a little bit that isn't quite final thought?
But then go into your final thoughts.
Because one of the things is Harmony and I were talking about a little bit, and it goes to the death of the author, which is a literary term that essentially, if Lindsay Ellis does a really good video essay on it, which is essentially how much do we let a creator and their viewpoints and who they are as a person affect how we consume their art. And I bring this up because I first heard about this controversy from a friend of mine, very proud African-American woman, Haley, and she was really pissed about the casting of Harriet Tubman because and I looked that up. One, there was a big old hubbub because she is British.
That was a little hubbub. It's like me when Thor was Australian.
I was like, what is this?
But it's the fact that you have this very, very important American hero being played by a Brit. So that caused a ripple. But the thing that she was pissed off about, apparently this actress has a history of writing, you know, tweets that have since been deleted, that essentially she believes that African-American women are essentially all ghetto and shouldn't be respected. Actually has friends. And some people even say, I need to look into this more, that she has friends who are white supremacist. And so it's like...
In Britain or in America?
Does it matter? Ten years ago, I would have said, in America. So it's like, knowing that about the actress, how does that affect how you perceive her playing somebody like Harriet Tubman? Huh? I'm just going to put that question out there.
I'm a big believer in separating the artist from their art.
Me too, I am as well.
All these controversial things that come out about the directors and actors, I like to separate that from what they've actually done. That's just my personal preference.
And yes, but at the same time, can you truly do that?
There's like a million other people who worked on this project. So I don't want to poo-poo this project because one person's kind of a bummer. We want to poo-poo the project because it wasn't very good. I'm totally down for poo-pooing the project because it sucked. But I don't want to say, go into the project looking at it like from the perspective of, well, the lead actress...
Is she a bad, really? I don't know too much into it.
Like I said, I tried to look it up before watching the movie, and a lot of it has been since been deleted. But the fact that, you know, it's kind of like Mel Gibson's career is dead, not because he's a bad actor, but because he's an anti-Semite domestic. He's like, funny.
I've seen her attacked on Twitter by white supremacists, and her stand-up, and the same way,
well, let's not fall down too deep.
That is a question to pose, because like I said, I know my friend Haley, and I know other people too, who are also African-American, being really pissed about this casting, specifically because of what she has said about African-American.
I can't blame them for feeling that way, but...
Yeah. Yeah, so just put that out there is how much does that affect the viewing?
Sure.
Yeah.
But anyway, final thoughts.
So final thoughts. As I have said repeatedly, Harriet Tubman was an amazing, amazing woman. She is an inspiration.
I used to party with her, yeah.
Yeah, right. I wish I could have partied with her.
She was amazing.
No, she could take shots.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, she'd drink us all under the table. Oh, yeah. No question about it.
And this movie had the potential to highlight that. I mean, she should be celebrated. She should be,
on the $20 bill.
She should be on the 20. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So she's, isn't that coming? Nope. Is that going to be a thing?
No, well, it was, but then Trump went into office.
Yeah, it would look like it was about to happen.
Yeah.
And he's like, but Andrew Jackson was a great president. Because that's the one you most resemble, you fucking totally tyrannical piece of shit.
Weird stuff, he's not putting himself on the $20 bill, guys. So,
it's crazy.
Don't say that on the internet.
He created a new form of currency, or a new denomination.
The $200 bill.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But anyway, but it's like, there is so much they could have done. There is so much they could have focused on. They could have focused on all those Underground Railroad trips. They could have focused on the raids during the Civil War. And then post-Civil War, she was still being an activist. She was trying to fight for desegregation of trolleys and got physically beat up doing it. It's like there is so much that she did that they could have focused on. And instead, it felt like... Yeah, we'll put in a sentence here that mentions some of the stuff the danger of the Fugitive Slave Act was mentioned in a sentence and the danger of it lasted for maybe 3 minutes.
Right.
And it's just that was kind of a big deal. And it feels like this movie was, there was so much stuff that was kind of a big deal that lasted for as fast as they could get it through, minutes tops, so that they could focus on this fabricated story that didn't add anything to her. In fact, weakened her character and who she was and what she did, and just made a lot of what she did kind of irrelevant. Mm. And that is rage-inducing because she was so amazing.
You don't shortchange.
You don't fucking shortchange Harriet Tubman, and this movie did.
Makes me want to believe that ghosts are real, just so she comes back.
Just come back and is like, "What the hell?" Yeah, I mean, there were moments, and so the only thing is there were moments that subtly hinted at the bad things, like somebody taking off a shirt and seeing scars, and that the person who ran the hotel, the fact that she, what happened to her indicates that not even free black women were safe.
But so it's more like 12 seconds of
slave. Yeah, but it's 12 seconds. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was the thing. It's like they had such potential and they wasted it. And that is rage-inducing.
Yeah.
So I will say, and you guys took my rating already, which was, I will say, 20 dollar bills that should have her damn face on it out of 5.
Fair. Ooh. Kim, now you're an African American woman, so you must
that
have
that is true.
You must have
record.
You must
last time she checked.
We are fully represented here, I would like to say, by
we
definition.
Are. We are. All the colors of the rainbow are here. Yeah.
It's like a Benetton review.
Yeah. Chris is actually Asian now, guys. So
trying to
really
fill
are
all those thoughts. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I'm black and I'm also from Virginia, which is bordering Maryland. Yeah. So
me too. I'm black and from Virginia.
Yes, he's now black. Oh man, Chris, I can't keep up with you. You identify with so many different races.
I am legion.
No, but this movie I thought started out really strong.
Yeah.
I was really starting to grow to care about a few of the characters. Obviously, Harriet, she had the most character development, which still, even though she had majority of screen time and development, I still didn't really know her, what she cared about. She cared about getting people to freedom. She cared about her family. Got that. What else did she care about? What were her fears? What were, you know, what did she love to do? We'll never know. Not from this movie. But, it's
kick ass and take names.
Yeah. As Mindy said, there were a lot of missed opportunities. I don't want to really talk about what wasn't in the film. I want to talk about what we did see, which was the same story told over and over, like literally the same shot. Mm-hmm. Or the same couple shots. Mm-hmm. The slaves running across the fields, slaves running in through a door, her coming home, talking to various family members, like, hey, I'm your sister, or your aunt, or your cousin, come with me. And then her singing a song and seven people coming out of huts or like slave cabins, like, oh, you're taking them to freedom? Can I go to freedom too? We get it. We get it.
The 7-Eleven is open.
Yes. Yeah. Not to say that she has an amazing and strong story, but you only have to go over her, this one part of her story so many times before it's understood. This was a 2-hour movie.
Two hours and 5-minute movie
that told about 30 minutes worth of story tops.
Yes.
Especially when you think about the second half of her life, where she was in the army, and then the final bit of her life where she was still
huge activist
fighting for, you know, women's rights and slave rights and all this.
This should have been an HBO movie.
If you're going to give me a 2-hour movie, put something in it.
There was a television show on, I want to say, TBS from a few years ago called Underground that got rave reviews.
On TBS?
And nobody watched it, so it got canceled. You know, it's like, but yeah, because TBS, nobody who watches TBS, like, we're like, they still have cable?
Yeah.
That's a thing?
I did enjoy the set design. I mean, I know what's it called? The songs production in the background?
The score?
The score.
You like the score?
Thank you, guys. The score, I was excited in the first 5 minutes because they did do a Negro spiritual that I hadn't heard before. And it was really, it developed the setting for the scene they were in, as far as the song was literally about God loves you when you have a plow in your hand, like you're doing God's work. This is the kind of thing that they told slaves to keep them in servitude. Like, oh, God loves it when you work hard for the massa. And I was like, oh, this is great. This is going to really delve into different, you know, storytelling techniques by the songs. Nope, they did that same song like 7 times. Yeah. They only had one song, apparently.
Well, they had two. Yeah. They had the Egypt one.
Oh, they had two. Oh,
so they had two.
Was it the song from Moses? Or,
No, not from Prince of Egypt.
It was it not the Prince of Egypt song?
No, that
I swear
was not.
To God, that song
it wasn't,
guys.
But I thought that initially, too. I thought it sounded similar. I don't think it was, but it did sound very similar to Prince of Egypt.
Either way, I was hoping to either hear something new or learn something new, but everything that was in this movie is like the most basic of information you could know about her. And that was my biggest disappointment. I wanted to see good actors tell me a great story, and I saw good actors with a bad script tell me a horrible like version of a great story.
Yeah.
I was just blown away. And then the wasted cast, Leslie Odom Jr. as Mindy touched on, why did he not have all of the white slave master's parts? Yeah. Because he has more talent in literally his pinky than this white guy with the stone face
he's
and the pretty blue eyes.
He's got such a screen presence.
Yeah. Even him just sitting in a chair, I was like, oh my God, this guy.
Yeah, there's so many great
actors kept
who are so
more.
Underutilized.
Yeah.
And is it because they felt like they needed to have a white presence? I don't know. A lot of movies feel that way. Like, no one's going to come to see this movie unless we can put a white person on this poster. Maybe that's what
I
they were
like
going
it
for.
It didn't at he's any point those, require a white person to be a character.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. You
like,
could have had a mob.
Backgrounds.
There you go.
Like, there was no reason for them to be a direct, like, oh, she is a direct antagonist.
And
it
again,
was just silly, bad year one screenwriting.
And this guy with no character, I'm going to wrap it up soon, but he had two henchmen who also had no character.
Speak for yourself, Mindy.
They were, I don't know if they were slaves or free black men. The movie didn't care. They were just black henchmen to the white slave master.
Right.
And I wish I knew a little bit more about their motivation.
Yes.
You never hear really in slave movies.
And the other one?
Yeah, because that was a thing in slavery where some slaves, you know, were, you know, helped out the white people for profit or gain or whatever.
Or protection.
Yeah. And you never hear about
and let's
that.
Let's not forget the one that Turn did it because he believed God was gave her special
powers.
Right.
What was
that? She was magical.
She was the
what
magical
was that actor's
Negro.
Name, by the way?
I do
he
not
looked like
know.
Chance the Rapper.
He reminded me of Michael Jackson in The Wiz.
No, really? He looked like Biz Markie. What are y'all talking about?
That's another great thing that could have been great if they had expanded upon is the people who were also African American working for the slave masters. Yes! Another thing that was...
What I would love to have seen is that the slave catcher... Yes, he was doing it for money. He was just in it for the money. He didn't give a damn about his own people. But I would like to have at least seen that he didn't have any more respect for the white people he was working for than the slaves.
He didn't mention that was kind of
Oh, yeah, he did do that, which was awkward.
There was that weird Quentin Tarantino moment in the block. I was like, what is happening right now?
Yeah, exactly.
To wrap up really quickly, I know we didn't mention there wasn't enough violence in the movie, and I kind of feel like we wanted violence just so we could feel something. Because throughout the movie, I've never been so lukewarm. Because I went into this movie with all the hopes in the world, and then throughout the movie, I'm sitting there, and it's just like, man, this is what we're doing now as humans, just sitting in a dark room watching pictures on the screen. I've never felt so lukewarm about a movie in my whole life. Nothing was amazing. A lot of things were okay. Yeah. I'm gonna give this 3 petticoats out of 10.
Frank?
I think we are the only row in the entire theater that felt the way we do. I think everyone was loving this film.
Except for the critics row.
Exactly.
There was a lot of reaction, but it felt stupid. Ooh, it's like, he said the N-word. It's like, that's not a shock.
There were little pockets of people going, oh, no, you didn't.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, and I hate to say it, but literally saying that. And I was like, the people right behind me would not shut up the whole movie.
I think this movie was catered towards religious people and maybe the audience was church groups.
I was like, this is Tyler Perry's Harriet Tubman story. Oh, no. What it feels like. It really does with all that push towards God, with all the like gimme moments of like, oh yeah, you tell him. I mean, it was designed for like a certain that type of audience to go and cheer and do and like and be like, but it's not a good movie. It's just gotcha moments.
Yeah. But God was in it, so A+.
Listen,
I'm sorry, Frank.
No, sorry. Confession time. Ha ha.
You loved it.
No. I pray every morning. It does not look like that. Okay. It's not a montage. There's no effects. No, I don't.
You don't go into a coma.
It's funny. My dad, after one of the reasons I was late getting here, besides getting beer, was. I was texting my dad. He's like, what did you do tonight? I said, I saw the movie about Harriet Tubman. He's like, oh, right. Yeah. How was that? And I think, you'll like it.
Right.
And it's not something against my dad. I just think that this is catered toward the masses. This is not catered toward cinephiles or history buffs or, you know... Anyone that's...
No, I kept thinking a Roland Emmerich production of a Tyler Perry film.
This really makes me so sad that it's directed by Casey Lemons, because I love Casey Lemons. I loved what she did with that Christmas movie that was the Langston Hughes adaptation.
What was that?
Black Nativity.
Oh, I didn't even know about
that. So great.
I love Langston Hughes.
Yeah.
I had no idea that was
the
thing.
She directed it with Jennifer Hudson and Angela Bassett and Forest Whitaker.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah, it was great.
Right.
But this, man, I didn't, this does not feel like Casey Lemon's effort at all. This feels like such a by the numbers historical biopic. And sad to say, but if biopics are like a dime a dozen now, and you gotta stand out if you're gonna go into that game. I really agree with Mindy that I would have loved to have seen just like this focus on her efforts in helping. She's so closely established with, associated with the Underground Railroad. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I thought that she created it.
Yeah.
You know, and I think I'm not alone in that, obviously.
Yeah, and, they didn't focus on what the Underground Railroad was either. It was like for 2 seconds.
Exactly.
They only said the words once.
Felt like it was a band as far as this movie was concerned. It's like, oh, you can see the bassist, Douglas, in the background.
Now you're in the club. Yeah. Yeah. Sort of thing. Yeah.
You only know because of his hair. You're like,
they didn't mention him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love Journey movies, and I love...
Oh, have they done a biopic of Journey?
I knew you were going to do that. So that sounded like, what'd you say that? But
don't stop believing, Chris.
I know. But if they had been, it just been, you know, her and focusing on her efforts and helping to establish the Underground Railroad and, you know, how she changed and how she evolved with each trip, rather than this, like, revenge family story.
And the montage.
I mean, I we might have had more montages had they gone that route, but at least it would have been a more, like, truer story in a lot of ways. And it wouldn't have shortchanged her, which I think this film does, and it's sad. And everybody's good in it, I feel. For the most part, yeah. Everyone showed up. No one's sleeping here.
Everybody showed up. That was your role. No, they all showed up. They were on the screen.
They showed up in terms of commitment.
They read their lines.
Commitment. They showed up. Especially Cynthia
Nobody phoned it in.
Arrivo, who
These
I like.
These pretzels are making me thirsty. Sorry.
Cynthia Erivo has one of the most expressive faces, I think, that for film. And I think she's just like... she reminds me of Jennifer Jason Leigh in a lot, the sense that you can just tell a lot about her character without her having to open her mouth. And
I mean, well, that's true. It's like you can write this dialogue, George. You sure can't speak it.
But there's nothing I hate worse than a good performance in a really shitty movie. And I'm looking at you, Iron Lady.
Yeah.
But, oh, right.
Yeah. God. But anyways, yeah, this is not the movie she deserves, and I'm sorry to say that a lot of people are going to get. You know, are going to form their impression of Harriet Tubman based on this film, and it's sad.
Maybe it'll inspire them to actually read the biography.
Hope so, because she deserves so much more. Yeah, so. She deserves statue. Well, she has statues, but
she deserves a goddamn $20
bill. Fuck yeah. She really does.
She's certainly more badass than Andrew Jackson ever was.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, I'm going to give this because there were little moments. Like, the moment I thought was the most successful was her actually realizing she was free. And that, you know, that was such a beautiful little moment. But I think that's more a testament to the actress than it is to the script or in the movie accomplished. So I got to give this 5 out of 10 white plantation-owning women doing their best poor man's Laura Linney impression.
Harmony?
I'm stumped. So like I'm the Laura Linney. Sorry. Move that away from me. I really wanted to like this. Like I was like almost okay through a lot of it, and I wanted so much for this, and just was completely like at first like when I first got it, I was like. Okay, it's okay. And then as I think about it more, I was like, no, that's really terrible. It's really not a great movie. And I'm super disappointed. I wanted definitely a better score. I wanted, if they were going to do the spirituals, I wanted more variety in that. Or something more like that motif or something. And it was just, at every turn, they kind of let me down. And super disappointing. That being said, it's got amazing costumes. It looked pretty.
It had a great personality.
You know what? They're really funny. No. But I think I just feel like sad. So I'm going to give this 2 out of 5 women wearing men's hats. I'm all about that. That's awesome.
That was pretty cool.
Michael?
I think once you said, Chris, that it was like a Hallmark kind of made for TV sort of thing, I couldn't get that out of my head. It was like, yeah, you just go softer on the N-words and you just put this on Christian Broadcasting Network and boom, and people will love it.
The people in the theater loved it.
They did.
Well, some did. But you know, there were several people trying to start a clap, and it never took off. So I was like, this audience isn't as into this as they might seem from the outside.
Well, how do we feel about clapping in theaters? Is that even like, necessary?
That does happen. Yeah.
I clapped at least 3 points of Endgame. I'm just saying.
I don't mind at the end.
I remember just very clearly Jennifer Hudson and just clapping and dreaming.
I don't mind at the end. It's fine. Yeah.
No. But yeah, I felt I was reminded of when I went to see the Tuskegee Airmen, And I had been waiting for this movie for years.
The Lawrence Fishburne?
The one with the one that Steven Spielberg made. The one with Lawrence Fishburne was made by HBO, and it was loads better.
That was so much better.
Yeah, that was good.
And the one that Steven Spielberg made, I was like, that was the thing that happened.
What was that called?
The George Lucas African American pilots, Red Tails.
Red Tails, that's what it was.
Red Tails was awful. Awful.
And he'd been wanting to get that done for a long time.
Yeah, it was Red Tails. And it was a movie that
Michael had wanted to see like for a year, and he waited for it to come to the discount cinema. He went to go see it. And even for like a dollar, we're like,
another amazing story. I didn't see it, but I've heard it. Yeah, another amazing story that was totally underutilized and reductive. Yeah.
And there was so much that, I mean, you have this gold mine of material in this woman's life. Mm-hmm. And you have to make it about, oh, well, she loved her family, and there was an evil cartoon villain white man who was keeping her down, and that was the bad guy. Huh? Like, no.
Yeah.
You know, you had this wonderful thing, and you chose to waste.
It's just so reductive, as she said, as Mindy said, so reductive.
In so many ways.
And I don't think they give the audience any credit. I think maybe they thought they had to make it simplistic for people to get it, and they absolutely did not. As someone said, Drunk History did it better.
Yes, you Octavia know, Spencer.
Go watch that movie.
That's like 15 minutes.
Yeah, it's a 15 minute
TV episode, and you'll get more.
And was really bad props and everything, and it was more.
Yeah, and the narrator was drunk, and yet they did it better.
They did it better.
So what would your score be? So
you want to add some more to your thought.
Oh, there's so much I want to add to my thought, but we don't have time. So I would give this, you know, maybe 2.5 out of 5 old-fashioned flintlock pistols.
So the thing about this film is there was two ways to unsuccessfully do it. And they picked the boring way. The boring way is, like we said, it's just so jagged. It keeps changing tones. It doesn't really know what it wants to be. It's ridiculously gaudy in a corny way. It's boring through the bulk of it. Most of it is not actually accurate. You're like, ugh, how much longer is this going to go on? The other way would have been to make her into Linda motherfucking Hamilton and Terminator and say, screw it. This is Pride, Prejudice, and Rednecks. You know?
I saw Funny or Die that actually did something like that.
Which, admittedly, would also have been a failure as a story about Harriet Tubman, but at least we would have enjoyed ourselves.
More entertaining.
She's like, I mean, like, can you imagine the scene at the end when she confronts the white bad guy? Just like, she would just be like single hand cocking her shotgun. Blasting into him, and then one last one saying something like, oppress this motherfucker.
Or at least having God like come down and be like, this is your fate at the Battle of Gettysburg, and then just blowing up his mind.
Right. Well, I would have taken a Terry Gilliam animation over what they did do with the God thing, which was the worst, lamest. Like, what was that? Like, it just barely, like...
It had been done in that Joan of Arc movie.
It was like iVideo, like filtering. Yeah. I was like, what is this? It's just, I found myself just going, there's clearly so many good actors in this thing. I think the biggest fault here is the script, which is just so overwrought. But I gotta blame the director as well, because there's so many bad decisions along the way. Just the score and the way it's... And there's shots that are just boring and old all throughout it. And you're like, oh my God, I'm having a hard time trying to find something I like about this movie. I genuinely am. And thank God the actors occasionally get moments where they shine here. Where you're like, oh, that was nice what they did. But overall, this is just a tedious kind of train wreck of a film.
We were in there for 3 hours when she's in the chair. I'm like, it's how long?
Yeah. It felt long.
I mean, all I can say is, thank God I have two black people on this podcast who both agree with me, because this movie is not good, and I want to see a really good Harriet Tubman movie. She is one of the all-time most amazing American heroes. Mm-hmm. End of story. Yeah. Triple underline. underline, exclamation point. Her story, most people have no idea how incredible her story really is, including the makers of this film.
Especially the makers of this film.
Go online and look it up. Save yourself.
Again, stuff you missed in history class. It's like an hour tops podcast because it's two episodes.
And, or like, honestly, I got so much out of just the Wikipedia page more than I got out of this movie, where I was just sitting there marveling going, oh my God, without all the bullshit filler.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give this 2 out of 10 spirituals I'm going to write now about working for free for my podcast.
Put her on the 20!
My podcast go.